Texas to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoy this week's message and hope to see you soon.
And if you missed any part of that message series, go online to our website, check that out, and you guys can kind of find it there. But as we kind of finish up that series and now kind of go into the season of preparing for Easter, one of the things that I've been just kind of praying about is, God, what would you speak to us right now? Like, what is your desire for us right now in the season that we're in as a church, getting ready to get ready for Easter and preparing for this grand celebration of the resurrection of Christ on Easter Sunday, because we're going to do it really big. We did it big last year. We're going to do it big this year because we believe that Jesus doesn't deserve anything less than our best. Amen? Amen? And so, but I've been praying about, God, what is it that you want us to do going into the Easter season? And so for the past really few months, God has kind of been speaking something into my heart as it relates to not just for like my family personally, but what I also believe for just our church. And I think for these next 3 weeks, you're going to hear just some messages that I hope would do something new on the inside of you, that it would minister to your hearts, that you would begin to see a transformation take place in your lives and in your families and in your finances and in your emotions, just the whole gamut of your life. And so today I actually want to speak out of that thought process and preach to you a message that I hope will encourage you and maybe even confirm some things that you're going through right now and some things that you're dealing with right now. So I want to read a passage of scripture out of 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 15. It's kind of lengthy, but I want us to really get the context of what's happening here in this passage of scripture. And so, matter of fact, I'm going to do something. We typically kind of have everybody seated just as we're reading the word of God, just because, you know, we don't want you to get tired. But today I just want to do something different. I want us all just to kind of stand to our feet as we read God's word, just to do something different. Sometimes you got to do some things different if you want different results. Amen. Like Albert Einstein said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And so I think this is a great season for us to begin to just do some things differently than what we've been accustomed to doing. So in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 15, and we actually have them on the screen. It says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except by my word.' And then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have commanded and directed the ravens to supply you with food there.' And so he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook." And verses 7 through 15 is kind of going to be where we really kind of spend a lot of our time today. "Sometime later, the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." What do you do when the source that you oftentimes look to for satisfaction and joy dries up? Like, what happens when you're trusting God in a certain area and you thought God was going to move and it was going to be kind of this perpetual resource, but one day you wake up and see that it's dried up. Then verse 8, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, 'Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there, and I have directed a widow there to supply you with food.' So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and asked, 'Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?' And as she was going to get it, he called, 'And bring me, please, a piece of bread.'" Now Elijah's asking for a whole lot. It's like, bro, you're real needy right now. Don't you see me getting sticks and you're asking for more? Verse 12, "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat and die." Verse 13, "Elijah said to her, 'Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil would not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land.'" Verse 15 says, she went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. And verse 16 says, for the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. So just for a few moments, I just want to preach a word that I hope would encourage us. And it's simply this: how to live through a drought. Ask the person beside you, do you know? Wrong person, they didn't say nothing. Ask the other person, do you know how to live through a drought? Amen. You guys can go to your seat. How to live through a drought. One of the interesting things about this passage is that it gives an account of God's prophet Elijah and how God used him just during this pivotal time in the nation of Israel. And just in case for those of us who aren't really familiar with like the word prophet and kind of what that means, or maybe you have a certain definition of what the prophet word means and it's not really biblical, a prophet was just somebody that God used all throughout the Old Testament to really be a carrier of his message to the people. So all throughout this book in the Old Testament at large, you see God speaking to people through his prophets. And they always delivered some type of a message on behalf of God to the people of God or to other nations as it relates to what it was that God desired them to do, or a message of something that was going to happen down the road, a forecast or a foreshadow, if you will. Sometimes the prophets would oftentimes speak words that would maybe even correct people. They would rebuke people. They would encourage people. They would direct people to where it was that God was calling them to be. And so in verse 1, you have Elijah, the prophet, one of the biggest prophets all throughout the Old Testament, being used by God. And God actually calls Elijah and sends Elijah to go to this guy by the name of Ahab, who happens to be the king of Israel. And he tells him to go to Ahab and to give him a message. And the message that Elijah gives to King Ahab is that there is a drought that is on the way. Now, you may be asking the question, so why is God sending Elijah to go speak this word to Ahab? Because if somebody came to me and told me there was a drought coming, that wouldn't be something that I would ultimately want to hear. And the thing that you got to understand about what happened here in this passage was the reason why there was a drought coming as a result, coming in this passage, and why Elijah came to speak this word from God to Ahab was because King Ahab had led the people of Israel into this season, into this time of idol worship, where they weren't worshiping the true God, Yahweh God. They were more so worshiping the God known as Baal, the false God, not God with a big G, God with a little g. And it was interesting because they would worship Baal, and Baal was oftentimes known as this little g god who controlled the rains, he controlled the harvest, he controlled the crops. And so Ahab had led the people of God into this time of false worship, where they weren't worshiping God. And as a result of them worshiping not the true and living God, but the god who was false, Baal that is, Elijah comes and brings forth a word of correction and also rebuke and a preview of what's to come. So in other words, as a result of the disobedience of the people, the drought was coming. Now, that may not seem like a big deal to you and I, but in this time, some thousands of years ago, this was mainly an agricultural society. And so if there was a drought and rain wasn't coming, and sometimes we can take the rain for granted, and sometimes like the rain gets on your nerves. But in a context like this, man, they longed for rain. And if the rain stopped flowing, then that means crops wouldn't grow. That means a famine was right around the corner. That means that food and livestock and all these type of things that they survived on, those things will now begin to dry up. Water supplies will begin to dry up. Like a rain or a lack thereof, a drought would severely set back the whole entire agricultural economic system. It's the equivalent of what would happen if the entire stock market was to crash, and all of your retirement stuff was to crash, and all of your pensions and all these things were to crash. That would be a financial drought. And we all would feel that in some capacity. But in this day and context, it was all about the rain. No rains equaled a famine. Droughts were a time where nothing was being produced. Now, you and I may not have felt or feel the impact of a drought. We may not have ever been in a time like this physically, but I oftentimes believe that there's times where you've been in seasons of your life where you have felt like everything had dried up, like nothing was working. Relationships were falling apart. People were just getting on your nerves left and right. Money just seemed like as it came in, like from your job, it would just flow right back out. Like it seemed like nothing was working. Everything was breaking down. You know what a drought feels like. You've been in one. And if you haven't been in a drought yet, keep on living. It's coming. I mean, I don't mean to scare you. I'm just giving you reality. There are going to come times in your life where it seems like nothing is working, where it seems like everything has fallen apart. Maybe for some of us, you went to the doctor this week and you got a doctor's report that you did not plan on hearing. Drought. Maybe you looked in your bank account and you saw that there was like 1 cent there. Drought. Maybe you went to work this week and you got news that you didn't want to hear. Drought. Maybe something's going on right now in your marriage and it's like hanging on by a thread. Matter of fact, there is no thread. Drought. And so you're trying to figure out, how in the world can I get through this? Like, how do I make it through this time? Here's the thing you got to understand about drought. Sometimes God allows us to go through droughts, not because he's punishing us. Sometimes God allows us to go through droughts because he's developing us. Sometimes. Sometimes God takes us through these seasons of life where it seems like nothing is working, where it seems like everything is falling apart, not because he's punishing us, but simply because he's trying to grow us to a new place. However, there are also times in our life where God allows us to go through droughts, not because of development, but because of our disobedience, and he's disciplining us. Now, I don't know about you. I don't want to go through droughts because of my disobedience. I don't want to go through a drought, period. But if I'm going to go through a drought, I want to make sure I'm cool with God. Now, by all means, do not think that for 1 second I'm saying that God is kind of sitting in the heavens and he's waiting for you to mess things up. He's waiting for you to disobey and this, that, and the third, and he's going to strike you down. No. Scripture talks about how God is slow to anger. So it's not like one of those things where you just mess up and all of a sudden all hell breaks loose. That's not what he's talking about here. We're talking about a perpetual pattern and cycle of disobedience. And that's what the children of Israel find themselves in. That's what the nation of Israel finds themselves in, that God is disciplining them because of their disobedience, and the way that he's disciplining them is through the drought. Now, you got to understand something about God. God is a loving father. And just like any good parent, you're not going to let your children just do everything that they want to do without disciplining them at some point. Can I get a good amen right there from the parents? Legitimately. Like, I can't just let, we got 3 kids, you know, one of them, he just came out 6 weeks ago. So, I mean, there's no discipline, obviously, for him. If so, call CPS on us. But for the other ones, especially, the oldest one, you know, there's some things that he does that we know for a fact, if we continue to let you get away with this, you're going to grow up and this pattern is going to continue. And so I had to discipline, or in other words, I had to correct. Matter of fact, here's what Hebrews 12 says. Endure hardship as discipline. Why? Because God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone, by the way, he says, undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we all have had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us, check this out, for our good. I know some of us in here didn't want to hear that. Because you're like, man, every time I got disciplined when I was growing up, nothing felt good about that. Nothing feels good about getting a spanking and getting popped. And depending on, you know, your upbringing, nothing feels good about getting beat down with a belt. Some of y'all are like, oh my gosh. Some of y'all got stories, man. Your mama made you go outside, go get a switch right now. Go get a switch. Right? Like, your daddy made you go in the room. You see all them belts, son? Go pick one. You know what I mean? But nonetheless, it was all for a purpose. And more importantly, God, he disciplines us for our good. Why? In order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. In other words, it doesn't feel good. But painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And here's the thing you got to understand about God's discipline. God disciplines us not for us to draw away from him. He disciplines us to draw us closer to him. That's the whole point of it. He disciplines us so that way we can grow in our relationship with him. And as a matter of fact, like, even as I look back over my life, I'm 31, going to be 32 this year. I thank God for the discipline that I got from parents, from grandparents, from other family members, from teachers, whatever, growing up, because I know for a fact, if I didn't get beat, I'm sorry if I'm scared, spanked, I didn't get beat. I just want y'all to know that. Like, I don't want you to think that my childhood was tragic. No, not at all. But if I didn't get disciplined, if I didn't get put on punishment, I would not be preaching the word of God to y'all right now. At all. And I think if many of us would actually look back over our life and see how God disciplined us through different situations and through different people, you will begin to thank God for the discipline that he brought forth in your life. God, thank God. Thank you so much for correcting me when I was stuck on stupid, just made dumb decisions, like stupid on steroid decisions. But thank God for his discipline. Thank God. But this message isn't really about discipline. This message is about how to get through the drought. And no matter why the drought has come, whether it's because of a disciplinary thing from God or because he's developing us, the why behind our drought is important. But what's most important is the what we do during the drought. So what do? During the dry seasons of life, everyone is impacted by times of drought. I don't care how godly you are, how holy you are, how much you love Jesus, how much scripture you know, everybody is going to go through a dry season. As a matter of fact, Elijah, the prophet that God used to speak this word to Ahab that the drought was coming, notice what happens in verses 2-6. Elijah himself found himself in the middle of a drought, but even in the middle of a drought, God provided for him. Matter of fact, God says it like this. He says, go to the brook. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send ravens. And by the way, ravens in the Jewish context were considered to be an unclean bird. But yet God used an unclean bird to bring him clean food. God will sometimes use unconventional measures to meet your needs. So when you're going through dry seasons, it's not the time to be, picky about how God is going to bless you and how God is going to provide for you. No. What you say is, God, thank you for my daily bread. Thank you, God, for opening up doors. Thank you, God, for getting me through. I know it's not all the resources that I wanted, but you got me through this month. Elijah can testify to the fact that God was faithful to him in the middle of a drought. Here we're talking about God's own chosen prophet. If Elijah went through the drought, what makes you and I think that we won't go through a drought? You and I, no matter how godly we are going to experience droughts. But it's interesting because shortly after Elijah goes to the brook and drinks from the brook dries up. And it's easy right then to start cursing God. God, why would you lead me to a place that would dry up? Why would you lead me into this season where everything that could go wrong is going wrong? Why would you lead me to that place? And some of us have been in that position. Matter of fact, some of us maybe even be there right now where you're asking that question. God, why is this happening to me right now? Why is everything working not for me, but against me? Why is everything breaking down around me? But notice here that Elijah doesn't complain. No, what happens is this. After the brook dries up, God speaks again. And this time he tells him, I want you to go to a place called Zarephath because I've already made provision for you to get through the dry season. And the thing that I want us to understand, if you don't get anything else out of this message today, is even though you may be in the middle of a dry season right now, God has already made provision for you to get through the dry season. He's already made provision. He's already made provision. And you may be saying, but I don't see provision. I don't see it. I don't see how it's going to happen. Here's the thing I want us to understand. We don't walk by what we see. We walk by what God says. That's what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. So I have to spend more time trusting what God says versus trusting what I actually see. So living through a drought is not necessarily about how much resources you have or how much resources you don't have. No, it's really about how in tune are you with what God is doing right now. Because you can either complain about the dry season you are going through, or you can say something like Job, that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You can say what Paul says in Philippians 4:13, no matter what I'm going through, well-fed, hungry, whatever the case may be, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In other words, I can make it through the dry season. So Elijah, in verses 10 through 12, notice he goes to the widow at Zarephath, and in verses 10 through 12, he has this conversation with her, and he asks her, can you make me or bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? And as she was going to get it, he called back and said, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. Then in verse 12, it says, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat and die. Now, I don't know if y'all understand the desperation that this woman is in and how bad her situation is right now. She's got a few things happening. Number one, she's a widow, which means she doesn't have a whole lot in that context. If you're a widow, it was almost like a death wish in that context. So her resources are already extremely limited. And on top of that, she has a son. So she's not only concerned about her needs, but she's also concerned about the needs of her son. So that's one thing. Next, maybe more important than that itself, she's in the middle of a drought, y'all. So it's like all the chips are stacked up against her. It's like there's no hope in this situation. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. There's a bleak outlook on this woman's life, which is why she says, I'm just gathering some sticks. I'm going to make a nice, good, home-cooked meal, crock pot style for my son and myself. And you know what we're going to do after that? We're going to die. That's real, y'all. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've kind of felt like there's no hope past this. I don't see myself making it through this situation. You maybe didn't think you were going to die, or maybe you did, but you didn't see yourself making it through the next month. You didn't see yourself making it through the next week. Matter of fact, some of us, it was so bad, you didn't even see yourself making it through the day. That's what this woman was up against. But it's interesting because this account here, it reveals something so unique as to what we should do and what God calls us to do when we find ourselves in the dry seasons of life. And it has everything to do with his word. I love all the language that the writer of 1 Kings gives us, because all throughout chapter 17, you constantly see things like, and the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord, and God said, or Elijah said, on behalf of the Lord. There's an emphasis here, and the emphasis and the consistency here is this, that the secret to this whole dry season is not going to come by more resources. The secret to the dry season is not going to come by better relationships. The secret to this dry season is not going to come by a better job. No, the secret to the dry season has everything to do with the word of the Lord. That's what you see consistently all throughout this passage of scripture. So when you begin to look at verse 13 through 15, notice what happens here after she says, we were going to die and I'm going to make this last meal and because it's over for us. Verse 13, Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. Then check out what he says next. After he says, as surely as the Lord your God lives, he says, do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. Do you see what's happening here? Elijah is bringing her a word from God. He's bringing her a word from God. God, the question that you're asking right now is, how do I make it through the droughts of life? That's the question that many of us came in here with. How do I make it through this dry season? How do I make it through this season where I don't have enough income? I got more bills than I got money. How do I make it through this season where nothing is working right? How do I make it through this season where everything is breaking down? How do I make it through this season when this person is turning against me and that person is turning against me? My car is not acting right. My kids aren't acting right. How do I make it through this season? And number one, I think Elijah helps us understand something here. That you live through the droughts of life by, number one, receiving God's word. Receiving God's word. So when he speaks this word that we just read to this widow, notice it's all about starting with the word of God. Not anything else. And in case you think that that's kind of real superficial and real simple, it is, but then it's deep at the same time. Because I want you to think about the last time that you found yourself in a really crazy, tight situation. The majority of us, the first thing that we did was not go to God about it. the first thing we probably did was try to fix it ourselves. Oftentimes, God, instead of being our first resort, is our last resort. So instead of God being our first resort, panic is our first resort or our first response. But Elijah really comes here with good news to tell her something. Hey, don't be afraid, because God is speaking. And if God is speaking, that means he's doing something. And the question I want to ask you right now is, if you're in this dry season of your life, what is God speaking to you right now? Because whatever he's speaking to you right now is directly connected to you getting through and living through this dry season of life. Notice here that as Elijah speaks this word to the widow, she receives it even though she could have rejected it. How do we know she receives it? Because in verse 15, it says that she did it. So it starts with her receiving God's word. So no matter how much I preach to you guys, no matter how much I tell you to open up God's word, no matter how many scriptures you memorize, if you don't receive it into your heart, if you don't receive it with an open heart, you will never be able to see God do the miraculous in your life. I hope this is making sense. In other words, I can't just let it go in one ear and out the other. No, I got to actually start to receive it. Like I'm not doing you any good just by preaching to you. No. You got to actually receive it into your heart. And the question that we got, and the thing that we have to oftentimes look at is not whether or not God is speaking, because God is always speaking. The question is, are we hearing him? Are we hearing him? Some of us are like, man, I have no clue what God wants me to do. Are you listening? How's your reception up there? Right? Some of you guys, like, you got cell phone carriers and you may Sprint, T-Mobile, Verizon, and you get frustrated with your cell phone carrier sometimes because you get into an area where you don't get any type of reception, and because you don't get any type of reception, you can't receive a call. And so people are like, I've been calling you all day long. You're like, man, I didn't get a single missed call. Why? Not because there was something wrong with what they were doing, but because you didn't have reception or receive the call in the first place. Such is the same when it comes to hearing from God. The issue is not of whether or not God is speaking. The issue is, are you in position to be able to receive what God is speaking? And some of us in here, man, your signal is low. And so maybe what God is trying to get us to do is you know how you guys get creative, and we get creative like when we don't get reception, like we kind of hold the phone up to the ceiling and we, you know, go by the window to get closer to the satellite or whatever the case may be. Maybe God is trying to get us to reposition ourselves so that way we can receive what he's trying to speak to us. Maybe that means that he's calling us to take some steps of faith that on the surface they look crazy, but beneath the surface is exactly what we need to do in order for us to be able to hear from him. I think maybe that's where many of us are. And I've been there plenty of times where I've been asking God, what is it that you want me to do? And God is like, I just want you to reposition yourself so that way you can receive what I'm speaking to you. God, would you speak a word of encouragement to me? Would you give me some direction? God's like, I'm trying to give you direction. The problem is you're not listening. And the thing that the widow did is brilliant. Because even though she could have rejected God's word through Elijah, she receives God's word through Elijah. Now, here's the thing I want us to understand, just kind of some basic Bible teaching. God doesn't speak to us through prophets like Elijah anymore. You know the way God speaks to us? He speaks to us through his written and revealed word and through the presence of his Holy Spirit who dwells on the inside of us. That's how he speaks to us. And so if you're a Christ follower in here, God's voice begins to sound like this. You're on the job and somebody does something to you that's absolutely crazy. You feel this little voice say, don't retaliate. And it's so quiet that it's loud. Don't do it. No, that's not the love of Christ. Right? How many of you guys have been there before? Yeah. Where you knew that it was something that God was calling you to do, and it was clear as day, and then you try to really like spiritualize it and pray your way out of it. God, surely this is not your word. Surely you don't want me to show love to the person who just cut me off. Surely you don't want me to show love to the person who abused me. Surely you don't want me to show love to the person who did this harmful thing to me. That's God speaking. He speaks through his word. He speaks through his spirit. But the question is, are we hearing him? Are we receiving what God is speaking. The greatest way for you to begin to hear what God is speaking is to go to what he's already spoken in his word. You want to know one of the greatest ways for you to gain clarity with God's word? Get in God's word. That's where it starts. And I know this sounds very elementary, but it's the core of the gospel. It's the core of what God calls us to be as believers. Because the only thing that will sustain you through your drought and your dry season is God's word. That's the only thing. The only thing Elijah had when he was going through the drought in verses 2-6 was a word from God. Go to the brook. Drink from the brook. Wait for some birds to come bring you some food. How crazy does that sound? I mean, come on, let's not be super spiritual. God speaks to Elijah. He says, I'm going to send some birds your way, and they're going to bring you not just meat in the morning, but meat in the evening. Like, if you heard that from God, you would probably be like, I need to go get checked. That's how God speaks. And I think God is speaking to many of us right now in a very crazy way. He's calling us to take some crazy, bold steps of faith. You want to know the secret to your, to not the end of your dry season? Notice I'm not saying that God is going to end your dry season. I'm talking about how to live through your dry season. It starts with you receiving his word. I'll say it like this, that to possess the clarity to know God's will, you have to possess the capacity to receive God's word. The key to surviving your drought is receiving God's word. That's the key. The key for you to get through this season that you're going through right now is to receive God's word, not to dismiss it, not to shovel it off to the side, not to be crazy with it, not to just, you know, act like it didn't happen. No, no, no. The key to you surviving this season right now in your life is to receive the word of God. What is God speaking to you right now? And many of us have been praying for breakthroughs. And God is like, man, I've been speaking to you for so long about how you can experience the breakthrough. I'm just waiting on you to receive the word so that way you can experience the breakthrough. It starts with you receiving God's word. Why do we have every reason to receive God's word? Number one, we got every reason to receive God's word because his word is perfect. Here's what Psalm 18:30 says. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. It's flawless. In other words, God does not make a mistake when he speaks a word to you. It may seem crazy to us, but it makes perfect sense to God. Isaiah 55 says it like this. We don't have the scripture on the screen. But Isaiah 55 and 10 says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven. We saw snow and rain this morning. Kind of cool, right? And do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me void or empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. If God has said and spoken something into your life, it will happen. The question is, will you receive it? Will you receive the word? We have to give ourselves over to God's word. In other words, the Bible, by receiving it, by studying it, by praying it, by being in touch with the Holy Spirit, by seeking God in prayer so that way we can gain clarity over what it is that God is speaking into our lives. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived, he said this, that a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. How much time do you spend reading God's word? How much time do you and I spend in prayer? I'll be honest with you, man. It's so tempting to spend more time on social media and hearing from other people than it is to spend time in the presence of God hearing from him. It's more tempting to spend more time hearing from what other people have to say and getting the advice of other people. And there's nothing wrong with getting wise counsel, but getting wise counsel cannot be at the expense of neglecting God's word. It's so easy to spend more time listening to all the outside sources, listening to CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, Good Morning America, The View, The Talk, the other shows that start with the word "the." It's so much easier to listen to all these other things other than the voice of God. And I believe that God is getting us and trying to get us back to this place where he says, I want you to spend more time hearing what I'm saying to you so that way you can get through the dry season of life. That's what God is trying to do. What is God speaking to you right now? Because whatever he's speaking to you, you receiving it has everything to do with how you will live through this dry season. And so for many of us, God is calling us to leave certain relationships because they're not good for us. For many of us, God is calling us to take a step of faith, maybe with our job, maybe with our finances, or whatever the case may be. And it is not popular. Matter of fact, you share with other people what God is speaking to you, and they say you're crazy. Good. You're in good company. Because there were plenty of times all throughout the scriptures where God spoke crazy things to people to do crazy things. Start with a guy by the name of Noah. Noah, go build an ark. What's an ark? Come on, man. People thought Noah was crazy for doing this. Noah, there's going to be floodwaters that come. The earth is going to be flooded with water. Noah, you drinking something, bro. Did you snort coke this morning or something, man? Something's going on with you. And then drip, drip, and then some raindrops later, the earth is flooded. Noah doesn't look so crazy anymore, does he? Because he received the word of God. I know what God may be calling you to do may sound crazy. I know it may sound like you're a lunatic by listening to what God says. But let me help you understand something. Everything that God says, as I said earlier, it comes to pass. And it may not happen right now. It may not look like it's going to happen right now. But in due time, it will always produce what he desires for it to produce. Always. But it's not just about receiving God's word. Because a lot of times we get stuck there. Like we'll hear what God wants us to do. And we'll think that's the end of it. Okay, I got a word from God. Good, I'm straight. I don't need to do anything else. It doesn't require any action on my part. No, 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 no. Receiving is half the battle. But the most important thing is responding to God's word. Notice what happens here in this text, verse 15. It says that she went away and did as Elijah had told her. She went away and did as Elijah, the prophet of God, who was bringing a message to this woman. She did everything that he told her to do. How do I live through a dry season? It starts with receiving God's word, but it also starts with responding to God's word. She followed the prophetic word that God gave her through Elijah. Notice here, she doesn't waver. She doesn't drag her feet. She doesn't procrastinate. She doesn't disobey. She probably thought it may have sounded crazy, but she obeyed. She obeyed. You want to know the greatest thing that you and I could do in this season of drought, in this dry season that we're in, is obey what God is calling us to do. It's to respond with obedience, acting on God's word. Nothing on the surface makes sense for her to do what Elijah just said. Elijah, you're telling me to use the last bit of resources that I have that I was planning on making for my son and myself. You're telling me to forfeit all that to make you a cake, bro? Seriously, you want me to make you a cake? Matter of fact, Elijah's like, I don't want you to just make me a cake. Make you and your son a cake. Elijah, like, this is crazy. I'm sure she's thinking of all these things right now. I'm sure she's going through it in her mind. Okay, let me pour just a little bit of flour here and a little bit of flour here. You know, I only got enough for a little bit of cake. You know, it's pound cake. You know, it's not going to be that big. So we're going to have to split this thing up in small little slices. I'm sure she's thinking about all these things. But you know what she does? She obeys. As crazy as it looks, she obeys. She helps us see that receiving God's word is one half of it, but responding to God's word with obedience is the other half of it. What thing right now is God calling you to do? And how are you and I going to respond? Here's what James 1 says. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Don't just be a hearer of God's word, be a doer of his word. It is not enough for you just to come in here on Sunday morning, hear God's word preached, hear God's word taught. It is not enough for you just to be able to have a devotional reading plan on your YouVersion Bible app or whatever it is that you use. It is not enough to be able to get emails coming into your inbox every day from Joyce Meyer or Joel Osteen or Mark Driscoll. I don't know who you listen to. It's not enough just to get those things. You got to obey them. You got to put it into action. And this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where it gets tough. Because I believe that all of us in here, like, we know what God is calling us to do in many instances. The challenge is us actually doing it. God says, forgive that person. No, I'm not. God says, love that person. No, I'm not. God says, make that financial sacrifice. Give more. No, I'm surely not. I just got this tax return, Jesus. I got a lot of things I need to do with it. And giving it to you was not on my list. But God says, if you only knew what was on the other side of your obedience, I probably wouldn't even have to tell you to do it. This woman, she obeys without any proof that anything would happen. Obedience to God's word isn't always easy, but it is always necessary. It's always necessary. It's not always easy. It's not easy to forgive people who have used you. It's not easy to love your enemies as yourself. It's not easy to make the financial sacrifice. Nothing about that is easy. But let me help you understand something else. There was nothing easy about Jesus going to a cross and dying for people who didn't deserve for him to die for them. There's nothing easy about that. There's nothing easy about being beat beyond recognition. That's what we're going to celebrate in a few weeks on Easter Sunday and on Resurrection Sunday and Good Friday. There was nothing easy about that. But he did it, and thank God that he did, because if he did not, we would not have an opportunity to experience a life-giving relationship with God. Obedience is costly. I said it last week, but man, it pays greatly on the back end. Partial obedience to God's word is complete disobedience to God's word. So I can't kind of be in the middle, and I'll be honest, like there's been plenty of times where I've tried to like dance around what God was calling me to do. So, like, forgive that person, love that person. It's like, okay, you know, I'm going to see how much I can get away with. You know, if I just say hi to them, that's me forgiving them. God's like, no. That's not enough. I need you to go all the way. What is it right now that God is calling you in your life to respond to? The woman, notice here that she makes the cake. She does what Elijah says. She went and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. But the only way the miracle happens is by being obedient to the word that God spoke. And many of us, we want the miracle of God. We want to see God rain down from heaven. And God is like, the miracles that I'm going to bring forth in your life are going to be tied and tethered to your obedience to the word that I've already spoken into your life. If you want to see the miracle happen, if you want to see the manna come down, it's going to start with obedience, responding to God's word. I'll say it like this, that great acts of God are often preceded by small acts of obedience. And notice in verses 15 through 16, in verse 16 it says this, for the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Notice here that God did not take the drought away from her life during this time. He sustained her through the drought. And many of our prayers are oftentimes, God, would you end the drought in my life? And God is like, I'm more concerned not about ending the drought, but by sustaining you through and in the drought. This is why David can say something like this in Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff are with me. The drought, y'all, is temporary. But how you go through the drought has a lot to do with you. The drought is temporary, but how you go through it has everything to do with you. It has everything to do with me. And I believe that many of us have been in this position and maybe are here right now where we're saying, God, would you please get rid of the drought? Would you please pour out blessings? Would you please send down rain? And I believe that God is speaking to us right now saying, I don't need to send down rain to sustain you. If I got to send a bird your way to bring some meat to you every day, I'll do it. I'm not limited by your capacity. I'm able to do things that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Your ways, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The thing that you think you need me to do in order for you to get through, I don't have to do it. I can do something different. Matter of fact, we will see something like this later on in Scripture in the New Testament when Jesus is preaching to thousands of people and Jesus actually has this conversation with some of his disciples and they say, Jesus, the people are hungry. We need to send them away for something to eat. And Jesus is like, you feed them. And they say, we only have 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. You know what Jesus says? Y'all don't see that as enough. I see that as more than enough. And every person there ate off the 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. I don't know what kind of cutting up Jesus was doing. But maybe it seemed like every time he cut something up and every time he broke bread, more bread came. And every time he broke fish, more fish came. I don't know what was happening, but he was doing something powerful to show us that I don't need to have an endless supply of resources to do an amazing great feat in your life. I can get you through the drought. But it comes down to you whether or not you're going to receive and respond to the word. There's going to be times where you're going to have an abundance of resource, y'all. But there's also going to be times where it is going to be tight and you're going to have barely enough. I'm going to just be real with you. There's been plenty of times in our life and in our marriage where we have seen times of fruition where it's been like, man, blessing here, blessing there, blessing everywhere. I'm not trying to rhyme, but I'm just saying. And there's also been times in our life where it was like, Lord, when's the next one coming? I'll share a story with you guys. Around this past December, we moved into our new house, and it was a blessing from God, but I kind of found myself quickly like, man, we got to pay for this. I got to pay for this. I got to pay for this. And it was like all this money was just going out, and I found myself like, God, I mean, now we were good stewards, and we saved up a lot, but that thing is starting to dwindle down. I see a drought. And if we get something else that we got to pay for, this could set us back. But what do? God is speaking to us. Just trust me. Just trust me. Just trust me. It's easy to trust God when you got a lot. It's something entirely different to trust God with a little bit. And it was hard. And then one day we went to the mailbox. We're checking our mail. And we get a check, this envelope, from this church that we actually have a relationship with. They sent us this check in the thousands of dollars amount saying, this is for you and your family this Christmas. Don't spend it on nothing church related. Don't go take nobody out to eat other than your family, whatever. This is strictly for you. Now, in the moments, I'm like, this is unbelievable. Because God, only you know what we need when we need it. And just as God sent the raven to bring food to Elijah, and just as he sent Elijah to bring a word to this widow at Zarephath who was preparing to die and telling her what to do, and when she obeyed, she saw this endless supply of resources. God also sent the check all the way from Alabama to bless us, to show us that he is not forgotten, and he will also do the same thing for you. The question is, are you going to trust him? You can live through your drought. But the question is, are you going to receive his word? Are you going to respond to his word? And this story right here is good, but in closing, man, you guys can come on up. It's really a preview of what God is going to do in the New Testament. This story, really, apart from what happens in the New Testament, doesn't have a whole lot of weight, but because of what happens in the New Testament, it gives us hope. Because in John chapter 6, verse 35, here's what Jesus says. I am the bread of life. And whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. What is Jesus trying to help us understand? When I put my faith and trust in him, oh, by the way, Jesus is called the living word, the incarnate word, the word of life. So all throughout the Old Testament, it's almost like it's a foreshadow of what Jesus would ultimately embody as the living word of God. So ultimately, when we're trusting in the word of God, we're trusting in who Jesus is and what he came to do. He says that I am the living water, I am the bread of life, and I will satisfy you through the drought. So I know you right now, you feel like you're up against all odds. Man, you're praying, you're fasting. You're like, God, when is rain coming? God is like, I don't need to send rain to sustain you. I can sustain you right where you are. I can bless you right where you are. But are you going to receive the word that he's speaking? Are you going to respond to the word that he's speaking? You don't have to die in this drought. I believe if the widow of Zarephath was here today, she would say something along the lines of, yes, we were preparing to die. I had no hope. Was ready to throw in the towel. But then God sent a word. He spoke a word that didn't match my situation. And I didn't understand his word at all. Matter of fact, it was asking me to do something that I didn't feel comfortable doing. But I trusted her. I took a leap of faith. And it was the greatest decision I ever made. I believe she would say that. Because every day until the rain came, that's what the scripture says. Every day until the drought ended, God sustained her. He took care of her. I want to encourage you this morning to let you know God can take care of you through your droughts, through your dry season. I know right now your marriage is struggling. I know right now finances are struggling. I know right now you're in this precarious situation. But the hope that we have is that God will fulfill what he said. Matter of fact, in scripture it says it like this, that Jesus is our yes and amen. So how do we know that God will keep his word? Because he fulfilled his entire word through his son Jesus. Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension is proof in the fact that God keeps his word. And I want to encourage you, not just challenge you, but more importantly, I want to encourage you today to trust in God's word. What is God speaking to you right now? What is God calling you to do right now? What step of faith is God calling you to make right now? Because on the other side of that obedience, on the other side of that step of faith is provision, is resource, is this endless supply of God's grace. And the only thing you got to do is trust him. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, my question is this. Will you trust him this morning? And maybe you came here this morning and this sermon spoke directly to you because you were saying, I was the widow. I was hopeless. I had no hope. I wasn't Elijah. I was the widow. Had nothing working in my favor. Everything was stacked up against me. Bad doctor's reports. Everything was drying up. Everything that could go wrong was going wrong. Kids had a medical condition and doctors couldn't figure out how to solve it. And God is saying, I know about your season that you're in. I know about the drought that you're in right now. And I got a word to speak to you. And all I'm asking you to do is to trust me. So if you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what? This morning, I'm the widow and I need to trust God. And today, I want to trust God. I am going to trust God. I'm going to stand on what God has said and not on what I see. If that's you this morning, would you just raise your hand just so I can pray with you really quick? If that's you. If you're in the middle of a dry season right now and you're saying, God, I need you to move. Just lift up your hand so I can pray with you, pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I just want to, amen, thank you guys. Awesome. Father, for every hand lifted, I pray that as you're speaking this word to them, this word of encouragement, that they can survive this drought, I pray that as this word has been spoken to them, that they would take this step of faith and trust you, that they would lean not onto their own understanding, but in all their ways acknowledge you because you will make straight their path. I pray that this morning, God, that you would do the miraculous in our lives as a result of us trusting in your word. And for every person who came in here this morning with the odds stacked against them, the chips stacked against them, not knowing how things would work out, not knowing what would happen tomorrow, not knowing what would happen later today, I pray that today that they would put their faith and trust in you, trusting you with their future, trusting you with their tomorrow, trusting you with their resources, trusting you with their time, with everything that they have. Believing that you are faithful and that you will fulfill every word that you have spoken. In Jesus' name. With every head still bowed, every eye still closed, if you're here this morning, you're saying, you know what? I need a relationship with God because I've been trying to do this thing on my own. And God has been speaking to me this morning about coming into a relationship with him. He's been speaking to me this morning about taking the next step. And so for many of us, or for some of us in here, that means you got to give your life to Christ. That means it's time for you to stop trusting in yourself. Trust in him. He will be your bread. He will be your water. He will get you through the dry season that you're in right now. If this is you and you're saying, I want to give my life to Christ this morning, I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day so that I could have new life and have it more abundantly. Jesus be my Lord. Jesus be my Savior. Jesus be my bread. Jesus be my water. Satisfy me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, can we put our hands together for who God is and for what he's going to do? That you can survive your dry season no matter what it is that you face. Amen. Tell the person beside you, keep pressing, keep trusting. Amen. So hey, as we prepare to close and as we prepare to go, whatever it is that you came here with this morning, maybe you came in here with a burden, maybe you came in here with a struggle, maybe you came in here with an issue. And I pray that God has spoken to you this morning. I pray that God has sent some manna from heaven to let you know that I haven't forgotten about you, that I'm for you, I'm not against you. But if there's anything that we can do to pray for you guys, we want you to take out that connection card on the back.